everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, the host of VSpeaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul, and also the founder and editor-in-chief of V Magazine, now celebrating its 17th year. And I am super excited right now to introduce you all to the man of the hour, the man of the town in Panama City, bringing you his second annual Red Fish Film Festival. Wow. Kudos to you, Kevin Elliott, everybody. He's the man, and I am so impressed with you. I am so impressed with when I listen to your podcast that our editor of the magazine and also host of Beast Speaks had about 6 months ago. And I was just absolutely amazed at your energy, the fact that your inaugural festival last year was so successful, your background, your love of Panama City, which is, you know, very, very evident. It is not, you know, it's very authentic. You're an authentic person. And so just tell the audience about what does it feel like right now to sit in a studio that's a pop-up studio with V and you and your film festival just 12 months after your inaugural.
Is it okay if I cry on your show?
Sure.
Is that okay? Because I'm going to. Because I'm going to. Well, first of all, thank you for the kind words. You have been a big inspiration of mine for more than a decade.
Thank you.
More than you know. So the just the idea that I'm sitting in a V pop-up podcast studio with Lisa Burwell is a big deal to me. Yeah, we're impressed with each other.
Yes.
I moved to Panama City in 1988. I was 13 years old. And I was an Air Force kid, so we were sort of nomadic. My dad drove us down Harrison Avenue, which is right out that window. And this was 1988. We drove by the Martin Theater, which is just a block from where we are right now. And I fell in love with this town. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know where it came from. But I knew I was going to live my life in this town. I wanted this to be my hometown. And so for decades, I was an arts kid in school, music and theater. I love the arts. And for decades, I was always a big cheerleader of our local arts community. I went to all of the things. I went to the theater and the comedy and the music. I went to all of it. And I wanted to be just involved with it. But then I realized I got to the stage in life where I had a little more bandwidth to pursue extra things. And I realized I hadn't contributed anything to our arts organization, to our arts scene. And so I own a film company and I was familiar with that world. And there's a story, the sort of moment I knew I was going to jump into a film festival involves Jennifer Berg, whose offices we are sitting in right now.
Jen Berg, beautiful.
They are beautiful. So Jen Berg, so thank you to Jen.
Thank you.
Dr. Jen Berg for letting us into her spaces.
Yes.
But, so this was something I could give back to the town I love, to the arts community I love, but also to my kids grow up here, and I don't want them to move away. Mm. So anyway.
Making places and spaces.
Yeah, making places and spaces for making the town we want to live in. And it's not just me by any means. There's so many people doing this, and I have this amazing team around me of people who I think were starving for something like this. And when they saw it, they were like, let me get in there. So I just happened to be the guy at the at the right time. But if it hadn't been me, it would have been somebody who came in and said, let's do something really big like this. And everybody jumped in. So
well,
I
your
can't
background then, because that's going to be somewhat of the genesis of like why you love and understand the filmmaking process.
Yes.
Or so your studio, when did you found that?
We started. So we just had a birthday. We Wall Films is my film company, and we filed our LLC paperwork in April of 2020.
Oh, so
as the whole world was falling apart.
Oh, perfect.
We decided to start a company as the pandemic was setting in.
Yeah.
But that company is one of my favorite things in the world, and I have a business partner over there, and we just love our little film company. So
it's not a little film company because you have clients like McDonald's and who else, like name the big, very impressive national brands that you have.
We've worked with McDonald's. We've worked with Toyota, HCA Hospital, hospital system, Gulf County, Florida Tourism and Destination Panama City. We've worked with Central Coast, California Tourism Development, big organizational type work. And that was a surprise to us. I mean, I think you and I as business owners, we could have the, like, sometimes your business surprises you.
Right.
You don't know what you're making necessarily. Right. And then people tell you what you're making.
Right.
So we've been very fortunate to have people, local people who brought us into these big brands. Mm. And then we found out we love that actually. Mm. We love that. We like humanizing big global brands.
That's amazing.
So like Coca-Cola is our presenting sponsor this year for Redfish, which is still just something we're so thrilled with. But the behind the global brand are these really wonderful human beings, mm-hmm. local people who love a town. And so our film company, we found this niche where we're corporate, but we're humanizing these big global brands, mm-hmm. and showing the heart of the people. So that is a documentary style of work.
Yes.
And so Redfish is a documentary only film festival, mm-hmm. and that is on purpose, mm-hmm. because we like real stories about real people.
Mm-hmm. As do we with the magazine, you know, Stories with Heart and Soul, and yep. the whole ethos of the magazine was to tell real authentic stories and good stories, because there are a lot of bad stories out there, but that's not what we are all about. Mm-hmm. I think with the wild horses that I just saw in the boxing
downtown boxing club.
Okay. I don't think it could get cooler to have a venue to see that movie in a very authentic looking boxing club.
Yep.
I mean, just like, you've got to see this to believe it. It's almost, it's very retro, the whole vibe of the town, like yesteryear. Mm-hmm. And I think the world, I know myself, craves yesteryear. You know, when things might have felt like sort of more like maybe RFD or whatever. And like, that's what this town reminds me of. So take the listeners and the viewers back to one of the worst things that could have ever happened to Panama City, and Mexico Beach and a few other places in our area that was literally accosted by Hurricane Michael, which was 7 years ago.
It will be 7 years on October 10th. Okay. Now, funny you mentioned the Downtown Boxing Club, because there are two connections there that tie directly to this film festival, mm-hmm. That came out of that building. That very unique building. It's an old Quonset hut. It's a 1940s style Quonset hut. So it's this very old metal building, but it also has this super modern looking lighting in there. And it's well appointed.
Yeah.
That building actually was designed. That design was by Jen Burke. That's another one of her projects. She started that company with a business partner, Chris Stamps, and Jen designed that space. No. So she designed this space we're sitting in. She designed that one.
Does she box, by the way? Just out of curiosity.
She did. But she's a fitness expert and has a business around that. So they started that. So Jen Berg is that has been a thread through a lot of this. But so Hurricane Michael hit, and I've lived here since 1988, and so we've all been through hurricanes. We all we know where we live in the Panhandle of Florida, and so it became part of our identity just to live through these hurricanes, and that all changed on October 10th, 2018, because Hurricane Michael came through and none of us had seen anything like that. It was just, and it completely devastated this. I mean, like complete infrastructure collapse, mm-hmm. just the town collapsed. And we had to dig out of that. It was really, really hard. But we have one thing that did was it gave people. Alan Branch, our brand new mayor in Panama City, he says it, I think, best. He says, we had a community heart attack. And he says, what happens after you survive a heart attack? You go, okay, I almost died. I didn't die. Now I better live my life differently because I almost died. Mm. And our town felt that collectively. We all went, we almost died, but we didn't die. So maybe it's time to swing for the fences because we have a new lease on life. When you come to historic downtown Panama City or St. Andrews or one of our great neighborhoods and you look around, you see a community of people who are going, we know what it's like to lose everything. It could happen again maybe one day. And so we better go for it now. Mm. That was an impetus for Redfish Film Fest, but also lots of other. That's why our arts community and our business community is really thriving. You see people out here going swinging hard for the fences because of that hurricane. So in a strange way, it was a great accelerant for us. Mm. And that's why all of this has sprung up in the last 6 years.
It was a big reset.
big reset.
Huge reset. But even that, which is all true, to accomplish what I see here in what is a very short period of time in way of like reimagining a new urbanism mm-hmm. downtown. Dover Cole will give credit to them. Yep. Land planners, new urbanist architects, 2 years ago won the Seaside Prize. Yep. With the Seaside Institute in Seaside. So that's very heady
yes.
and very big.
And by the way, Victor, his daughter, Lee, had a documentary in the film fest last year.
No way.
Yeah, so Victor Dover, everybody in this world knows him. He won the Seaside Prize.
Right.
Yeah, so he's been a part of Redfish, actually, from year one. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. We love Victor.
And who, or what group of people championed that effort? That story I don't completely know. How did it get to the point that Dover Cole came in?
Unfortunately, there isn't a simple answer to that because there were so many people doing so many things in their little niche.
Mm-hmm.
You had government folks. We had some great commissioners. Oh, we got very lucky that when that hit, we had the right people in leadership positions that went, okay, we have to fix this. We have to grow. And in other words, we're not going to die. We're going to live better. But you also had it in the business community, you had it in the arts community, and there are these people. And then you had these people who have been pushing for years and years and years at this stuff. And then when that storm hit, like it's a reset button, and it made us all come together because we almost lost it all. So in lots of ways, it was all the things. It was business and arts and government all looking at each other and going, we have a shared trauma. Like we all understand each other, and you can still talk to people who live through that. And mention it and we get misty eyed. Like it's almost like people who have been in combat together. There's some sort of bond that they have and so we were on the same team, and that is how this happened so mm-hmm. fast. It was all the people doing their individual things. So there's no one hero mm-hmm. in this story, mm-hmm. but there is everybody going, okay, Let's put differences aside. We're a team. Mm-hmm. And so when this is what happens when you see what a team can get together and like make it happen.
It's impressive.
It's impressive. And for the film fest, I try to tell folks, this fest could not exist in historic downtown without all those people doing their part. In other words, they weren't doing it for a fest, but we committed to do it in historic downtown Panama City. Because like you said, people are craving authenticity. They want these real brick walls like we have behind us. They want a bookshop where they can go in and feel those paper books. And so we have Bookish Boutique. You can't fake this stuff.
Mm-mm.
That building has to be 120 years old or it won't feel like it's 120 years old. And we have them all over downtown. So we wanted the fest to be in the heart of historic downtown because going back when I was 13, I said, I can't believe this is happening. And I can see the Martin Theater where I fell in love with this town. That's very touching to me. But the other thing is the town was ready for it.
It was.
All the things were in place because 10 years ago, we didn't have a hotel down on our marina. So people couldn't mm-hmm. stay close to downtown. We didn't have as many shops or businesses. So if you can't throw a film festival in a dead neighborhood,
right.
The neighborhood had to come alive. And then we went, when the hotel opened, the Hotel Indigo opened, I knew, okay, we have all the pieces in place. Now we can do this for sure.
Adding the hotel, was a huge feat as well. And it's a very nice hotel on the waterfront. To know that all of that happened in like 7 years
Correct.
Is really
it was really
not been done before or not often because yep. and then COVID everybody was basically dealing with labor shortages container restaurant prices doubling
mm-hmm.
so you were fighting a huge worldwide pandemic as well. And still were able to, push through. It's crazy. So many things to ask you, but I'm just going to ask you this right now, sort of maybe out of tune a little bit. But where do you see this in the future? Like, it's your dream. You came up with it. You're the founder. So you're helming this organization. What do you see down the road?
So here's the thing. We've thought a lot about this.
Okay.
We've been very deliberate. How we've built this brand because it is so special to us. And so we have we have really focused on how to do this. We want Redfish to be the premier documentary film festival in the Southeast United States. Like, we are very clear about that. We want it to be a national festival. We want to be up there in the leagues of the big ones, right? Of the Sundances and the South Bys and the and the Hot Springs. There's a big one, a big documentary festival in Hot Springs. We are swinging for the fences.
Mm-hmm. I think you'll go beyond that Southeast.
Well, thank you. Maybe we're underachieving. We just want to be one of the,
overachiever, yeah. Always.
So to be the premier documentary only festival in the country, that would, I mean, hey, that would be, that said, we never want to leave downtown. So it'd be very easy. We have some great facilities at our local colleges here that would actually accommodate a film festival in some logistical ways way better than a historic downtown with a bunch of small buildings and, you know, nooks and crannies and pop-up things in other people's offices. But I think that's what makes it special. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be one of these premier festivals, but we want to always keep our heart in this little neighborhood that I fell in love with when I was 13 years old.
Wow. How old are your kids now?
My youngest is 24, okay. Which is, by the way, why I have time to do all this stuff, because I don't have little kids
anymore. Right, okay. Yeah, right. What do they think about what their dad is doing?
I think they're impressed with it. They wear the T-shirt. Okay. That's something, right? They wear the T-shirt.
Yeah.
But as we all know, if you have kids, if you have a spouse, they bring that level of reality to you. Like, I knew you before all this. Mm-hmm. And so it's not, I think they're impressed, you know, but they're also my kids and they see me as in a completely different way than everybody else does.
Yes, yes.
I will tell you though, it is surreal to me that people see me in that kind of way. I'm not used to that. I was an arts kid and a theater kid, and it's all about the ensemble and the team and, you know, I'll put it this way, and I know this is going to sound self-serving and maybe presumptuous. In a very small way, I think I understand a little bit of how people like Walt Disney and others feel. Because they all know they can't do anything alone, but you have an idea and you build a team around it, and then people need a face to sort of associate with it. And that's just me.
Yeah.
I didn't set out to do that, by the way.
Yeah.
Sort of happened that way.
Well, someone has to be the face.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, the world just wants somebody, you know, who's ever helming something, you know,
they need that mental shortcut.
Well, you're repping the vision and the brand, you know, but that said, because I agree with you on that, you have to have a really good team.
Oh my goodness.
You have to have, I call Jordan Staggs my comrade in arms. I actually looked up the definition of comrade in arms and, you know, someone in a foxhole, I mean, in a war, right? Because like to make something happen, like you're doing to make like a magazine 17 years ago when the year that we started publishing the magazine, that was the Great Recession. And all businesses were closing. So when you said you started something in Hurricane Michael, we started like a magazine. 200 magazines nationally closed that year when we entered. And like I kept saying, where is it, you know, swimming upstream? Yeah. Like, what are we doing here? Like, how crazy can this be? Yeah. But the similar grit and grace and faith and destiny have to all be players in that story of success. I was very moved by your Facebook post that you made yesterday or the day before about Brittany.
Yes.
And all that you, because I don't know Brittany obviously very well, but I see all those same things that you had said about her and how amazing she is. And I know that this is really hard to put on and for all of you, but you have to have comrades to be able to carry a vision for it, right? Because one person even that did, you know, found something is the founder. You actually can't go anywhere without a team of people.
I want to ask you about this as a founder and somebody who I think we understand each other on this account. And so use Brittany as an example. That post I wrote is, if you have a and I know you do because you have Jordan, right?
Yeah.
If you have a
and
Brittany,
several others too, but Jordan's been there the longest. Yeah.
Right. And you see the level of work they do on your on behalf of your organization. Yeah. By the way, we're all volunteers. Like, there's
yes, I meant to ask that too. You're all volunteers.
We
oh,
are.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
now,
even
now, by the way,
we want to
grow into a full on film festival with paid staff. Mm-hmm. We want all that stuff. But when you see that, like when in that post I did, and I itemized, and that's not even all of it. I was just like itemizing things, and you see someone work like that for no money.
Mm,
does as a founder, it's first of all, it's humbling because you're like, why are you even doing this? This is amazing that you're doing that. You're giving your talent and your brain and all this to this. And then two, it makes me feel, you realize how important or you realize how precarious it can be because if those people stop doing those things, you're done.
It does.
Right. So you can start a vision, and I had a vision for this. Yeah. And and Redfish came out of my mind. But then that's why I wrote that post. It's like I realized that we were at our opening night event and I was in the middle of stuff and I was just going and I'm like, it's important to itemize for people and say out loud, here's what people like Brittany do, and say, I see you doing this. And I see that if you stop doing this, this whole thing stops. And that's
it shows a lot about you too as the leader, because then what it shows is that you have a quiet confidence and not to get a big head, because you understand the reality of what it takes to bring something forth.
Yeah.
And it's always good to have that. I find that my head can't get like knocked down enough. And I don't hate that, because when you're the face, if you don't have those trials and tribulations, you could drink your own Kool-Aid.
Right.
But those trials will cut that right out of you. And I really love that about how things are very hard to bring forth. And you can't forget it because
there's a balance.
Nothing's a one-man show.
Correct. Right. Nothing. That's what I guess what I'm saying was my not unease, but it's always surprising to me when people attribute things to me that I know other people did.
Yeah.
I understand what they're doing. They need to know somebody's leading this, and I am the lead. Okay, I'm the leader of this.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't know. I think it's maybe my background as a theater kid. I did theater, and in theater, it's all about the ensemble.
Right.
It's all about
it's good.
It's all about I know you need me to give you my line so you can say your line.
Yes.
And there's something about that it works in the arts community.
Yes.
But but I also too understanding there's a balance. Yeah. So like, okay, I'm the face of this, coming to grips with that, but also trying to make sure your team knows that you see what they're doing and that this is all over if they decide to not do what they do.
Right. Amazing. So tonight's the big party, right?
Yes.
Talk about that party.
Okay.
So I know what to wear, which I don't have many red outfits.
Okay.
I'll find something.
We are doing a masquerade
tonight,
which lots of people do masquerades. But at Redfish, we try to do these. We always say to each other when we're planning up these events, we go, okay, has this been seen before? Is this something that anybody can do anywhere? Or how do we put an artistic twist on it? That surprise and delight is a big part of our ethos. It's part of our core values. Like, how do we surprise people and delight them? And by the way, I didn't come up with that. I actually got that from Eric Darnell, who works with Alan Brandt. So if you go to their businesses, you walk around and go, this is surprising. Oh, I didn't expect this. Oh, it's delightful. That's what we're going for. So surprise and delight.
Yeah.
Okay. So the event tonight, we actually had a volunteer, one of our Whitney Nieves, who said, hey, you all should do something around the Mask of the Red Death by Edgar Allan Poe, because it's red and it's dark and it's moody and all that stuff. And she gave us this idea around an event we did last Halloween time.
Mm.
And we couldn't do it at Halloween time, but we went, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. So what if we did a masquerade themed on Mask of the Red Death by Edgar Allan Poe, but try to modernize it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then because we're downtown, we have to do this we don't have any big gala balls, rooms downtown. We don't have giant event spaces. Everything we do has to be creative in a pop-up space.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a pop-up space that I won't give away too much, that we are creating this masquerade, this dark red, artistic, masquerade in an old building downtown. And there's something to having something super pop-up and ephemeral, but also modern and creative in an old building that nobody would expect. It's unexpected. Mm-hmm. That's tonight.
Exciting. Very exciting.
Okay. So wear red. Wear something fancy and red.
Okay, we'll do. We'll do. I think a documentary on the making of the Redfish Film Festival would be pretty cool. Is that already in the works?
It's not in the works, but you're not the first one who has said that. Here's the thing is that, and you know this too, right? The cobbler is the last one to get shoes. I have a film company. Like we do this. I have a company who does this for others, and it would be great if I could just.
Yeah, if you could put the.
Correct.
If you could paint the building or. If you
right.
Could
and so I have, that makes it a little frustrating because I have the people I know could do it. Right. But we're so busy. So yeah, it's
anything. Come.
And I think it's one of the things I'm really glad that everybody has a phone in their pocket nowadays.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of archival being caught.
Yes.
Just by people's experience that I think
cool.
that I think is going to end up somewhere, maybe in a documentary one day. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. It doesn't even seem like a big enough word for everything that I have seen you bring forth and this town and the synergy and the energy. Yeah. Incredibly impressed. And that is kind of a tough road now, 98, with all of the construction going on. Yeah. And I've been back and forth, you know, from like the 38 area, maybe 7 times to this town in the last 7 weeks. I'm like, wow. Like, yeah. I'm just, you know, it's just like the universe is pushing me here, you know?
There's a draw.
Kudos to you. Thank you so much for this interview and continued success and much success to you, Kevin.
Likewise. This has been an honor. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed it, everybody. Check it out. Have a good day. Bye-bye.